You know, I'm over there on the buffet line. I got the pancakes, the link sausage. I got the potatoes. I got the omelets.
Our thanks to Bill Curry Ford for presenting the Ira Kaufman podcast and all of Ira's work. GM Sean Sullivan, he's the boss, and he is your personal contact at Bill Curry Ford. You can email him, call him, stop into the dealership 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry, and Sean's going to help you personally. You won't get that anywhere else. You've got the Ira Kaufman discount, a nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles, BillCurryFord.com. And our thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida's Elite Restoration, that's your first phone call. If you find mold in your house, you have a big leak, a flood, fire, whatever disaster it is, Florida's Elite Restoration is your phone call. Find them at Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Bookmark it, save it. They're going to give you a free assessment of what's happening in your home, and they are experts. They're licensed mold remediation specialists. And my favorite, they are fired up on Thursday night to give you $300, $300 Amex gift card. We're giving away two of them, and they're from Florida's Elite Restoration. That's all happening at our draft party. Big Storm Brewery, Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Olmerton Road. And as far as the $300 gift cards from Florida's Elite Restoration, the first one, now we're going to give away around 9 o'clock. So you get there early. Ira's going to roll in about 7 p.m. and you'll get a ticket, you know, like a raffle kind of ticket. We'll call some numbers for that card around 9 o'clock. And then the other one, the other $300, will be part of a Pick the Pick contest. So you're going to have a list of names to choose from, and you can pick who the Bucks draft in the first round. We'll have tiebreakers. We'll figure it all out with making sure that there's a winner, and you don't have to be there when the Bucks pick after midnight, if that's when they go. But that second gift card will be given away, $300 from Florida's Elite Restoration. All the fun kicks off at Big Storm Brewery Clearwater. Remember, outdoor seating, 3,000 square feet, about 30-something tables. We've got indoor seating in the beautiful tap room, fantastic food. We've got all kinds of other Bucks giveaways. Great time ahead. The Pewtercast will be out there as well. That's the Bucks podcast, the Pewtercast, Steve Carney, Ren Dax. We appreciate them coming on out, and they'll be broadcasting live. We've got some special guests coming as well. Fired up for a fun podcast here. A lot of different stuff on the table. We appreciate your support. And here's Ira. Bucks fans, less than a week to the draft with the sage of Tampa Bay sports. You know who he is, Mr. Bill Curry Ford and all his other names. He's Ira Kaufman. We love him. You love him. This is the Ira Kaufman podcast presented by Bill Curry Ford. And we are fired up. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeKemper of Joe Bucks Fan is here. It's all presented by Bill Curry Ford. Get to BillCurryFord.com immediately. If you're in that car shopping search, if you're looking for a truck, just get there first and start looking around. And you can reach out anytime, online, by phone. Just walk into the dealership a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. GM Sean Sullivan is eager to help you personally, eager to help give you any kind of discount he can, including the famous world-renowned Ira Kaufman discount. Sage is here today. We got a lot of draft talk, a lot of other nuggets. How are you, Ira?
We're coming back with a vengeance, Steve, because our draft party was wrecked last year. We could have celebrated the selection of Tristan Wirfs, but instead we had to bow down to COVID and we canceled, and we're bouncing back in a big way. We got all kinds of giveaways. It's going to be one heck of a fun night, Stevie.
All right, Ira. Now, listen, you told us a lot in the last podcast about your trip to the Arians Family Foundation dinner, and you cornered Todd Bowles. We heard your chatter about that on the last podcast. We read about it in your column at Joe Bucks Fan. And, you know, I know you mentioned Coach Rapone. You're a big fan of his. We're big fans of his. Nick Rapone, the safeties coach, just a great character and someone you want to just drink 10 beers with and learn all about football.
But Big Storm Beers.
Big Storm Beers.
Big Storm Beers, Steve. Big Storm Beers. That's
absolutely. Right. But Ira, what can you share? Some things maybe you didn't get to about that night. Maybe talking to Coach Rapone, Tom Moore, whoever else you mingled with. What else can you give us? Because, you know, it's rare insight that you get from around that room.
I ran across Rapone sitting at a table, and the chair next to him was empty. And he goes, Hey, Joe Bucks fan, pull up a chair. That's what he calls me.
Oh, you were called Joe Bucks fan.
So he calls me Joe Bucks fan, pull up a chair. Then he tells me that he never misses a podcast, Lee. Two a week. Two a week. When he leaves the facility, he's looking around for the Ira Kaufman podcast. I mean, that's a beautiful thing. And it reminded me of what Arian said, last week. I know all about Joe Bucks fan. I read everything. I listen to the podcast. It's beautiful. And so I'm sitting with Rapone, Lee, and he says to me, you know why I love this podcast? Now, don't get excited, Lee, because he didn't mention your name at that point. He didn't.
I'm happy.
He said, you know why I listen to that podcast? Because you, Sage, sound like the voice of the Buck fan. You are the common Buck fan. Now, I don't know if that's a compliment or not. I don't want to be called I don't want to be called common over here, DeKemper. I mean,
What are you talking about here? You're not a commoner?
Lee, I've spent 45 years in the business, not trying to be a commoner, but I understood what he meant. And
in our eyes, you're a member of parliament. You're part of the House of Lords. you're royalty. Let's get this straight.
I think what he means, Stevie, is that when you take this podcast, the three of us, the interplay, the subjects, Steve, that you bring up, and that we all weigh in on, I think it gives Rapone a good sense of what's being said out there. He might even tell the other coaches, hey, you know what the hell they were talking about on Joe Bucks fan the other night? And Arian said he wants to hear what people are saying. He wants to know what his players are saying. Well, in this case, he wants to know what the three of us are saying. And I think it's great. Not only do we have a big listening audience from Guam, Thailand, Chile, Argentina, whatever. But we also have a big audience at One Buck Place. Steve, we knew it. But I think in the last couple of weeks, it's sort of been confirmed just how the extent of this podcast.
Well, that's because people are telling you, Ira. They've been telling me and Lee for a long time. And usually it's in a loud, angry tone. But that's fine. It's just the way it goes. We're glad Coach Rapone enjoys the podcast. Of course, he's got an open invitation to sit down and have a sandwich with us.
Well, obviously, it's a compliment, Ira, but I think what he may have been meaning to say is that listening to you, Ira, he sort of gets the pulse of the fans. And I know you pride yourself on trying to talk to Bucks fans, finding out what their, what their angle is when it comes to the Bucks, what they like, what they don't like, what they're happy about, what have you. And hopefully that's what he was meaning to say. I know as a journalist, you don't want to be a fan. You want to be objective. I get that. You don't want to be emotionally involved. I fully understand that. But maybe that's what he was trying to tell you, Ira.
I think you're right, Lee. I think you're absolutely right. And as you two guys know, even before I joined Joe Bucks fan, and by the way, we're approaching my fifth anniversary, gentlemen. I think I'm doing a cost of living raise over there. But even, you guys noticed this at training camp, but in general, you guys knew that unlike a lot of our fellow scribes, I always enjoyed, talking to the readership, the Buck fans. I wanted to know what was on their mind. Some people, I don't know. I really don't understand it, Lee. They kind of have the attitude that it's below them to even be seen talking to some fans. I don't get that, Lee. I really don't.
Well, I've never lost, and I don't think Steve has either. I've never lost sight of the fact that without fans, without readers, Steve and I are doing, I don't know, what we're digging ditches, cleaning horses, I don't know. But without fans, without readers, I don't know what I'm doing. And I've never lost sight of that every day. Even the people that call me every word in the book, and sometimes I deserve it, but without them, I don't know what I'm doing. And unfortunately, it's taken some, with journalism crumbling the way it is, that they finally realized that, only maybe a little too late.
Ira, I'm going to disagree with all of this. You know me. I can't stand for this stuff. I don't think if that's what Coach Rapone really believes, that you're the voice of the fan or you capture that, I don't buy it at all. You're the Sage. If you're just some common voice of the fan guy, they're a dime a dozen. You're Ira. It's Ira. It's one of a kind. That's my opinion. So I don't think you're the voice of the fan at all, Ira. I think you're the voice of the Sage. And that's what makes this thing fun and what makes it work. And I hope you're not stuck in your old journalism box anymore. You're a Bucks fan. I know you want the team to win. And enough of this nonsense. There have been columnists for the last 100 years who were Homer types, who were columnists, who wrote Tom McEwen was one of your heroes, and he certainly was didn't hide his allegiance to the Tampa Bay area as a Homer-style columnist. So you can root for the home team. You can be a Bucks fan, and I think you understand them very well, Ira. I just think you're Ira. That's it.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate that sentiment. But also, I mean, I want to acknowledge Lee's point, too, is that the three of us, we've never lost sight of who's really paying the bill ultimately. Now look at the name of the site. I mean, you guys could have picked any name and you picked Joe Bucks fan. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, this is a blue collar town. I think we all realize that. It's not New York and it's not LA and it's Tampa Bay. We love being here. And that kind of attitude, Steve, I think it's one of the reasons that your enterprise that you and Lee created has been so successful.
It always makes me laugh when you say enterprise, you know, as Ali and enterprise I spend most of our time, not together, but still in our underwear, you know, getting the job done, especially in these COVID times. All right. Enough of us, Ira. If you are the fan, if you are the voice of the fan, if that is one of your roles, if you are a man of the people, then you know what, Ira, I'm pinning you down right now. Forget about what you think the Bucks are going to do in the draft. You've already told us about that. Trading back, accumulating picks. You think there is going to be more of a focus on next year's draft. We've heard all about that. What do you want the Bucks to do? What do you think is the smart move that you'd like to see this franchise do as far as where need meets opportunity and what this draft looks like? And really, essentially, Ira, the Joe Sixpack question, Ira, what should the Bucks do in the draft? What do you want to see?
They should be thinking edge rusher. I'm with the Kemper. I'm totally with the Kemper. I would think edge rusher. That's scary. That is a little scary prospect. First of all, you can never have too many. You just can't. And we don't know about JPP's future. Now, we've been saying that for a few years now. And I'll tell you what, he's still playing at a high level. He is a freak of nature. There's no question about it. But I believe he's 32. You know, that's getting on a little bit. And that's a guy that might be able to contribute immediately. Not saying he's going to take Shaq Barrett's job. It's not going to happen. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with a little rotation. The pass rush, that's the way to play pass defense, gentlemen. And I'll tell you how. I'll tell you, I'll back it up. Lee, you watch this game. Steve and I believe, were at Big Storm for this game. And I believe you watched it from home. All three of us could not believe what we were watching. The first half of the game in Atlanta. We could not believe how bad the Bucks looked. Now, look, they didn't score a point, so Brady wasn't doing anything. But more importantly, Matt Ryan did anything he wanted. They probably should have had more than 17 points. They probably should have had 24 or 27. No pass rush. I don't know where the heck Shaq Barrett went that afternoon for the first half. JPP was missing in action. They didn't blitz Devin White, or if they did, he didn't get there. So, Lee, my point is, let's not be too fooled here. The pass rush was furious in the postseason, capped by that unbelievable night against the Chiefs. But, Lee, when the pass rush isn't there, I don't have all that much faith in the secondary in terms of being ball hawks. I don't. Now, it all comes together when the pass rush is there. So, to answer Steve's question, Lee, I don't know how you feel, but if there's a pass rusher at 26 – and you want to move up to 26, I don't have a problem with that. If there's one at 32, I don't have a problem with that either. I go with edge rusher.
You know, you'll never get an argument from me about a pass rusher. This is what makes this year's draft so fun and the way the team is constructed. With the possible exception of quarterback, the obvious exception, I should say, of quarterback and offensive tackle, although I think Steve might try to argue with me about that, a guy can come in and probably get starter snaps in case the guy went down or they want to put a guy in a rotation. Now, I'm really big on who can make the biggest impact this year. And right. So that's why I'm not doing somersaults for a pass rusher, only because those guys generally don't have an impact as rookies. But there's no more valuable position on defense than an edge rusher. So I'm torn about that. Linebacker, I think you make a hell of an argument. You get a guy in rotation. You know, obviously Levante David's not getting any younger. Mentor is an okay backup. You know, I've written about this, Nick Bolton from Missouri. I would love to have him. There's a guy from Texas. I want to say it's Ose. I want to say that's his name. He's listed as an edge rusher. I don't know if he's big enough to be an edge rusher, but if you watch film of him or if you watch games, this guy's used all over the place. And like Devin White, like Nick Bolton at Missouri currently, this guy is always around the ball. I mean, always around the ball. And so is Nick Bolton, by the way. And Ose, if you're always around the ball, you're playing linebacker, you're playing safety, you're playing edge rush, and you're always around the ball, that tells me you can read a freaking play and you can react quickly to be around the ball all that much. Supposedly, this guy's got unreal work ethic. He's like, you know, alpha dog work ethic. I kind of salivate at how Todd Bowles would use this guy. He looks like he's interchangeable. He could play linebacker on this play. The next play, you could blitz him. The next play, he could drop back as a safety, in a sense. So it's just, it's kind of a delicious thought how Todd Bowles uses Ose in Texas. I haven't read anything where Ose is like a first-round pick at all. Mostly it seems to see if he's a early second-round pick, so maybe the Bucks could trade back. I know you thought about trading back. Trade back four or five slots. You know, maybe at 36, 37, he might still be there. And another position, Sean Sullivan has brought this up. Our good friend, the general manager, Bill Curry Ford. Sean's talking about Elijah Moore, a wide receiver from Ole Miss. Now, outside of tight end and offensive tackle and quarterback, you can make an argument for every other position, drafting a guy at 32, and he could play significant snaps. I don't know about starting, but he could play significant snaps. So that's what's great about this draft. The Bucks go all sorts of ways, and you're like, okay, I see it.
In that respect, Steve, it's sort of a bulletproof draft. If they stay at 32, Steve, no matter who they take, is anybody going to say that's a terrible pick? It's a really unusual situation. Not many teams have an opportunity like this.
Yeah, it's bulletproof until the guy gets on the field, and then you can throw all the bullets you want if he sucks. Jason Light has made the joke a couple of times now that, yeah, you guys give him two games, and if he doesn't look in like he's ready to go, then that's all. Then it's a bad pick. And I know what Jason's saying, but you know, it'll take a while to figure out, unlike most years, it'll take more time to figure out what kind of impact the rookie's going to have and how good the pick was. But Ira, I'm going to push you a little bit. Okay, edge rusher. Sage says edge rusher. That's what he wants. What about next? What's next on the priority list?
Corner, Steve. I'm focusing on the defensive side of the ball. They're loaded at wide receiver. I mean, who's going to come in here and get snaps away from the best wide receiver tandem in football? Scotty Miller, you know, is a nice deep threat. And I like Tyler Johnson. I mean, who's going to come in here and just demand playing time at wideout? We know about tight end. Nobody's beaten Brady out. The running back, the backfield's full. So I'm on the defensive side of the ball. Steve, you can't have enough corners. Lee made a great point about Carlton Davis going forward. Suppose he wants to test the free agent market. Suppose he's determined about it. You know, somebody out there is going to throw a lot of money at a Carlton Davis. Then the Bucks might be caught short a little bit at corner. We know in this league, you got to have three or four corners that are dependable. I mean, you just have to.
Bucks sure learned that the hard way a few years ago, didn't they?
No question about it, Lee. So I'm looking at corner. As far as linebacker that Lee mentioned, well, Levante David's going to be here for 2 years. I mean, so you're talking about a developmental guy. Minter's adequate as a backup. Defensive tackle, guys, I think they're loaded. They got Nunez Roaches. They got McClendon. And that's sitting behind Vea and Sue. Could Sue be gone after 2021? Sure. And McClendon, too. So we shall see. You know, the one guy we never talk about is Will Golston. Steve, you came up with the stat of all-time stats. I mean, that was fantastic. When you said, I think it's the quarterback hits, Steve, that he led the team with. Nobody would have picked Will Golston. I'm still quite not sure how that happened. Steve, am I right? It was the quarterback hits?
Yeah, you're right.
That is phenomenal. I mean, a lot of times he's not even on the field on passing situations. It really is amazing. And, Lee, I think you'd agree. Golston's last couple of years, I think that's been his best years as a Buck.
And I think that's because of Sue. Not necessarily because Sue's on the field. The first week Sue was a member of the Bucks, I saw with my own eyes Sue taking Golston aside. And you just tell, you couldn't hear what they were saying, but you could tell by Sue's mannerisms, he was describing and demonstrating how to use certain moves on a blocker. And I really think that Sue took Golston under his wing and sort of like, you know, a big brother kind of thing. And, you know, Golston's always been a decent run stopper, always has been. And I think playing with Sue has really elevated his game.
Yeah, Ira, hey, yes. Ira, let me throw out there, I think just more than anything else is that Will Golston is a 3-4 defensive end. That's what his body says. That's what his game says. But in classic Buccaneers fashion, Mark Dominic drafted him to play in Greg Schiano's defense that was not really the best fit for that was not really the best fit for Golston. And then, of course, he hung on in Lovie Smith's 4-3 and showed he could play against the run. But in this situation, this is prime for him. He's developed really well. And, you're right, 20 quarterback hits led the team this past year. Sue had 19. And, on down the line from there. So, yeah, an underrated guy. And hopefully what we saw from him last year, I hope, was not a career year. You just got to hope that for at least from some of the guys that, we don't have more than one guy who had a career year and falls off.
Excellent point about Golston and the scheme, Steve. He is a classic left end, Lee, in a three-man front, and he's very good at it. Hey, one more quick point about Sue. I forgot to mention this when I was talking about my conversation with Bowles, and he was talking about Sue. You know what he said about Sue? He said when his playing days are over, and who the heck knows, this guy could go another 3 or 4 years. It wouldn't be shocking. Bowles said when Sue wraps it up, he wouldn't be surprised if Sue's the type of guy that would be part of a conglomerate to buy an NFL team. He's that savvy. He's that savvy. He's into business, and he's one sharp customer, Lee.
No, he's a sharp guy. He's very intelligent. Sue is really, really an interesting guy. You know, he's very savvy, very smart, big on business. He's got a lot of very, very heavy hitter friends. One of which is, I can't remember his name. Buffett, Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett is one of his buddies.
Nice.
And He's got a couple of nickels to rub together. And so, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised whatsoever if Sue was part of the group that would purchase or a minority ownership of a team. You know, there are teams that they sell minority ownership parts of. For example, Warrick Dunn. How many people know Warrick Dunn owns a piece of the Falcons?
Yeah, you're right.
Yep. John Stallworth. Yep. John Stallworth owns a piece of the Steelers. Who's to say Sue doesn't? I'm not saying the Glazers are going to do this, but who's to say? I don't know. Pick a team, the Texans. They sell a piece of the team, and he could buy it.
Ira owns a piece of Pete and Sally's Diner in Port Richey.
You know, Steve, Lee mentioned Warren Buffett. That brings me up to another.
Oh wait, I got to throw in a little cynicism here, Ira. When I hear anybody say that Sue's good in business, he's big into business, none of us have a clue whether the guy's lost $70 million over the last 4 years. So just because you're involved and you throw your money around, he may be very successful. He may be broke. I have no idea. None of us do. So I always have to throw that out there.
Well, he's earned the confidence of Todd Bowles, who's nobody's fool. But, Steve, may I proceed and tell a little quick story, Stephen?
Absolutely, Ira, but not until I remind everybody about our amazing draft party. As we heard earlier, Big Storm Brewery, April 29th, Thursday, Sage rolls in at 7 o'clock, means the food is in his face at 7:15. He'll be holding a Kolsch, maybe a Bromosa, and we've got an exciting time ahead, Ira. Fans are going to be coming out. Everybody's going to get a table, get there early. And we've got the giveaways we talked about, and I appreciate that the PewterCast podcast that some Bucks fans listen to is going to be out there. Steve Carney, your old pal, is on that podcast now, Ira.
Nice.
He'll be out
nice.
There. They've been inviting folks.
Good so guy. We
appreciate them inviting folks out. Ira, good news. Coach Combs is coming out. That's confirmed. Your good buddy, Coach Combs, who you haven't seen in a while.
Maybe we can get Rock Riley out there, Stevie. You never know.
Maybe, Ira, maybe. But the important thing to know is 49th Street, just south of Almerton Road, Big Storm Brewery, flagship location. All kinds of details at joebucksfan.com. And indoor seating, outdoor seating, and Florida's Elite Restoration has stepped to the plate. Florida's Elite Restoration, $300 gift cards. They're giving away two of them. One of them we're going to give away around 9 o'clock in a drawing, and the other one will be part of a Pick the Pick contest. Very exciting, Ira. Big Storm Brewery. All the details at joebucksfan.com.
All right. This is not one of my favorite stories, but it's an important story. You mentioned Warren Buffett. This actually happened. I believe it was 2014. The Tribune was reeling.
Oh, I know where you're going.
It was owned by Media General, a company based in Richmond, Virginia. They had about 30 papers. Most of them were small papers. The Trib was their biggest paper, and they were focused in Virginia and the Carolinas. But they also owned the Tampa Tribune, and they also owned WFLA, Channel 8. Well, one day I wake up and I go to my computer, and I see that it pops up. Media General sells its properties to Warren Buffett. Well, this is a shocker. I got to read. I got my cup of coffee there. And gentlemen, I couldn't make this up. This was the opening sentence of the story from Reuters. Business magnate Warren Buffett has acquired all of Media General's news print properties, comma, with the exception of the Tampa Tribune. That was the opening line. I read a couple more paragraphs. I woke up my wife and I said, you're not going to believe what I just read. With the exception, he didn't want the Tribune, gentlemen. No. He took 32 newspapers and he didn't want the 33rd. And there was a quote from him saying he doesn't like to pick up papers in competitive markets. And, you know, of course, you had the Tampa Bay Times at that point. And that was his reasoning. Well, next thing you knew, a venture capitalist came in, Lee, and the rest was history. That was it.
Yeah. See, I thought you were going to say, when you began your story, I thought you were going to say that, you know, you unloaded your 500 shares of Berkshire Hathaway in 1983.
Well, Ira, he's one savvy businessman, Steve. No question about it.
Ira, we'll let you know. I believe it was last year, before the pandemic, that Buffett sold his newspaper empire. So it would have all ended anyway, Ira. So you would have just been here 4 years later. No big deal.
In fact, I like it better the way it turned out, Stevie.
There you go, Sage. Now, I got to ask you this, Ira. Interesting development. Antonio Brown settled his civil rape case. It's done. That was the announcement from Ian Rappaport. I find it interesting that Rappaport is the one who broke it. That's not usually something NFL Network likes to break. You never know where he got that from or why. So that's interesting, but that's another story. So it's done. Antonio Brown no longer has any sort of issue hanging over his head that we know of as it relates to the NFL. And this makes him essentially ready for the Bucks to sign. And Jason Light acknowledged that they still want him, which means there's still an offer has been on the table for a while. But it also might make other teams more interested in Antonio Brown, knowing that that isn't hanging out there anymore. So perhaps this is what Brown was waiting for. Or perhaps Team Glazer told him, we'll pay you more if you settle up your legal situation. But this is the price your legal situation is not settled. Remember, Bruce Arians said there are offers out there, plural. So maybe there was one offer if you settle your case and another offer if you don't. That would be my speculation, Ira. What do you think of this whole thing as it relates to the Buccaneers' future with Antonio Brown.
Steve, I think your essential point, unfortunately, from a Buck perspective, is that it makes him more attractive to 31 other teams as a free agent. I think that's fair to say. It takes away a question mark. Now, there are still question marks about him as a teammate, his attitude, or whatever. But the legalities, you know, that's gone, Lee. And I think that might help Brown's leverage. Now, that doesn't mean that he's going to, you know, now all of a sudden get all phone calls from 18 different teams up in their offers. The Bucs have an offer out for him, Lee. They want him back. I don't think it's a tragedy if he doesn't come back. And Lee, our information is that he's going to be a Buccaneer. That's our information.
Yeah, we heard this, 2 weeks ago. I'm not going to say who told us, but it's someone who has dealings with some players, and that's who told me that. I said it on a podcast about 2 weeks ago that, you know, I couldn't confirm it, but I knew someone that has dealings with some players, and that's what he had heard. And he's always been right before about other things. So we shall see, as Mo Howard would say.
Well, Sage, I have to wonder, Bill Belichick really seemed to like Antonio Brown, seemed to want to try to hang on to him as long as he could until it became impossible with the allegations hanging over his head. You know, Cam Newton's there, and, you know, the Patriots are still run like the Patriots. I don't know. It wouldn't shock me if he ended up there. Your thoughts?
Well, if I'm Brown, do I want to play for a team that has got Cam Newton throwing me the ball or Tom Brady? I mean, Lee, ultimately, it's Brown's call, you know, with the advice from his agent. And, yeah, he's got some options. He's not overwhelmed with options, but he's got some options. And, you know, the Patriots have already had him, Lee. Belichick knows what he's dealing with over there. And I guess he, you know, Steve fawns it off on all the legalities. I think there might have been even more to it in terms of Belichick dumping Brown right in front of Brady. Brady didn't want to dump Brown in New England, but Belichick did it. And so that, you know, gives you an indication right there that Brown might have worn out his welcome in Foxborough. I don't think that's going to happen, Lee. I think he's going to end up on the Bucs because I think Brown's going to realize this is the best place for him, at least right now. And Brady wants him, and I think that goes a long way with Brown.
Now, I could be dead wrong here, Ira. I was under the impression that Brown was booted from the Patriots. That came from Kraft, not Belichick.
Yeah, I think you're right. The over-under, Lee, you know this. The Bucs are at 12. I believe the Chiefs are 12.5 as number one. I dare say if Antonio Brown signs with the Jacksonville Jaguars tomorrow, the Bucs are still going to be at 12, Lee, 12.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. At any rate, Elijah Moore could step in. And, well, I'm not saying he could play the level of Antonio Brown, but in the expectation that Brown would leave, he would be a nice draft pick to come in, and he could probably contribute as a slot receiver. And this draft's going to be so fun because of the unknown. You just don't know it. No, you don't know who's going to be there. You don't know. There's a lot of unknowns. By the way, about the draft, real quick. And I think we all overlook this. I know I overlook this. What is coming in the pipeline? You know, these scouts just don't scout players that are eligible for the draft. They scout 2 years ahead of time. If they go cover Boston College, for example, right, they're going, right, anybody that's halfway decent, they're going to document. So what's coming down the pipeline next year, or what is expected to come down the pipeline? You know, the Bucs could say, you know what, we could reach for our edge rusher this year, but next year it's loaded with edge rushers. We get a competent one at 32, where here we might be reaching at 32. So that's also going to play a factor, and we don't know that. That's obviously confidential information that all the teams have.
The only assessment I've heard early about 2022 is that it's not a good year if you're looking for a quarterback. That's kind of the only thing I've heard about 2022.
To me, that stuff always changes every year. So it's like, mm-hmm, you know, what you hear now, all of a sudden it's different in October. And I don't know. I personally don't go too crazy with that because it does change a lot. But Ira, the other day when Jason Light did his annual draft, a news conference, I know you were on the phone with Bill Parcells at the time, but Lee and I were on with Light, and I asked him this, Ira. I asked him, you know, try to prop him up a little bit, you know, soften the guy up a little. Remind everybody that he won the Super Bowl. I asked him, as reigning Super Bowl champion GM, do you sense any difference from the prospects that you're talking to on Zoom and that, you know, does your staff see that? Is there any extra juice to them knowing that they're talking to the Super Bowl team? And to my surprise, Light said, yeah, the guys sit up a little more straight and they're a little more wide-eyed. They're a little more excited to talk about our team. And he revealed that as a way to get into the mind of the prospect, that the Bucks ask every player to name a few guys on our roster. Who can you name on our roster? How many can you name? And Light said that in the past, typically a college prospect, you know, some guy out of Missouri could name three Buccaneers. But this year, he said that it seemed like they could name the whole starting lineup on both sides of the ball. I just thought that was kind of funny. It's telling and interesting, but it's kind of funny. The previous years, I could just see Light and Dirk Cutter sitting there saying, hey, tell us, who can you name on our roster? And some guys struggling after Jameis and Mike Evans, you know?
Well, you know, primetime helps, Lee. Primetime helps. No question about it.
Yeah, primetime helps.
Primetime helps, and they're going to get a bunch of it again this fall. Two things. One, I'm surprised that they managed to squeeze Izbits in as one of the questioners on a Zoom call, because a lot of times Izbits is left at the wayside, with J.P. Peterson and the rest of the overflow traffic.
Let's not be too ridiculous, Ira.
Number two, I gotta give Izbits some credit, because that might have been Light's best answer of the 21 minutes. A lot of vague stuff. A lot of fluff, nothing really concrete. And then all of a sudden, Izbits gets a pretty good response. So, you know, you got to give it up to the host of this show. Once in a while, Izbits strikes gold. Good question, Steve. It's not one that I would have necessarily thought of in terms of what's the reaction of prospects to this franchise at this point. You know, I think it's another example of what happens when you're in the national spotlight. And nothing beats holding up that Lombardi trophy to get the attention of some of these prospects, Lee.
Well, I tell you, I got a question for both of you guys. This just sprung to mind. It's both you guys. You guys are, well, I know Steve is semi-interested. And Ira, I think you have more than a passing interest. You know, the English soccer, I don't know anything about it. But, you know, Man U, they're owned by the Glazer family. With this ruckus that was started with this new league, supposedly it lasted 2 days and imploded. But what I'm getting at is, when Joel Glazer did a Zoom call a couple weeks ago, which was basically replacing his normal sit-down with Bucks beat writers, apparently one of the many reasons the Glazer family is despised in England is that apparently they never, ever do an interview with the English papers. Never, ever. Now, I don't know how true that is. That's just what I read. Are you guys sort of surprised somehow, some way, some Brit didn't hack in the Zoom conference call a couple weeks ago with Brian or with Joel Glazer and start peppering him with questions about Manchester United?
I'm astonished that that did not happen. Astonished. Lee, your sentiments are absolutely correct. I think they've owned the team maybe for 12, 13 years and been pretty successful at it. They've won some Premier League titles. I think Joel gave an interview year one, maybe month one, in 2008. And that's been it. Steve, did you know what I just said? This is one of the most prestigious sports franchises in the world. One of the richest history. You know how they look at soccer overseas. It's their national sport. It's their NFL. Steve, the guy hasn't given an interview in 12 years. Avi Glazer, nothing. Joel Glazer, nothing. Ryan Glazer, zero. Darcy, nothing. They don't even show the owner's box during the games. They never show it. And I watch these damn games. I can't believe I'm watching, Marcus Rashford, out on the left wing when I should be swinging a golf club. But I watch it.
I hear you. Look, it's a decision they made. And I'll say this. The English paparazzi, for as much as they pride themselves and their tabloids and all that, they could have somebody in the United States, following Joel Glazer around if they wanted to. They don't want to. They haven't done that. And Manchester United has played in the United States many times on summer tours, and they don't really, go overboard to harass him, that it appears anyway. So there's no TMZ-like spottings of the Glazers and stuff. So I get it, but they're not going overboard necessarily to get these guys. So I'll say this, that's why it doesn't surprise me that nobody showed up on a Joel Glazer Zoom call with the Bucks. But it would have been fun, though. Certainly would have been very entertaining.
Steve, the soccer project. I got to say this. Leah, I think it's important to add this. When Joel does his sit down it's usually at the owners' meetings in March, and he's been doing it for a long time, 15 years worth.
I appreciate, by the way.
And we appreciate. In the old days, which I liked better, I was the only guy that was doing it with him. And then all of a sudden, one year, next thing I know, Rick Stroud sitting down with the guy. And, what am I going to say? I can't say anything about it. It's his call. But when I did sit down, usually the PR guy is sitting right there. And Glazer says up front, right up front, no questions about Manchester United. That's what he says. And he said it for 10 straight years, and it was understood. Now, part of that, Leon, it's smart. It's smart. He's sitting at an NFL owners meeting at the Arizona Biltmore or, in Palm Beach at the Breakers. And he's surrounded by NFL owners. And the last thing they want to see is him quoted about how Manchester United's doing in the Premier League. So I understood it. If I was him, I would have said the same thing. But those were the ground rules, Steve, for those interviews with Joel Glazer.
I'll give you a funny one. And we'll go out on this. Plenty more draft talk. We got our mock draft coming up next podcast with some analysis with Sean Sullivan back from Bill Curry Ford, our draft guru. And Sage, I got a call many years ago during the early years of JoeBucksFan.com. I got a call from somebody who said, and this was about 2 days before the owners' meetings, literally 2 days. I get a call from somebody who says, the Glazers are really disappointed that you're not going out to the owners' meetings. They were really hoping to sit down with JoeBucksFan.com or any chance you can head out there. And I said, nonstop flight to Arizona on short notice with a hotel is probably going to cost me $1,000. And, that's about half of what Lee and I earn at JoeBucksFan.com. So, the answer is no. Maybe they could sit down with me another time. I'm sure they got plenty of time to in their schedule. And I was sort of pushed a little bit. I'm like, no, not going to happen. Sorry. They have my phone number. So I can only imagine what you would have thought all those years ago, Ira, if I had shown up and had cut you off in line to talk to Team Glazer.
I probably would have trashed you to Joel Glazer. I would have trashed you.
Wasn't that the same meetings that, they had the coaches' breakfast? Ira, you really got, you would have been hacked off if Steve elbowed his way in front of you to get the last pancake.
Lee, I still remember, I'm over there on the buffet line. I got the pancakes, the link sausage. I got the potatoes. I got the omelets. And I sit down and here comes Gruden. And he's got freaking alfalfa sprouts on his dish. I can't take it, Lee. Can't take it.
Well, Ira, as long as we're telling stories real quick, I remember, I think it was my first owner's meeting that I went to in Orlando. You know how those things worked. I don't need to explain it to the listeners. Not really important. But you sit down at the table with Mike Tomlin, and he was already rolling maybe 30, 40 minutes into his discussion. It's the AFC day, so, people are bopping around. They're not tied to the Bucks. Now, you sit down next to Mike Tomlin. I was already sitting there two seats away from Tomlin. You sit next to him. He's live on NFL Network, and he turns and says, Ira, how you doing, man? Good to see you. He just starts striking up a personal conversation in the middle of this live televised news conference. Hilarious.
That's the way I roll, Steve.
All right. Thanks to everybody. Keep listening. Apple Podcasts, all the different platforms. Our thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration, floridaseliterestoration.com, Bill Curry Ford, and of course, Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. We're out of here.
I got the pancakes, the link sausage. I got the potatoes. I got the omelets.